those that are saying actually that we will destroy heterosexual marriage, my answer is no. Their right won't have an impact on my right.
This ongoing vitriol that's coming from the religious right is socially poisonous.
One way or another, we're ending up at the Supreme Court. Why not find out what the elected representatives stand for? Is it equality or is it not?
The project is called By the People, a compilation of bisexual artists and friends.
You're not gay, but you're not straight. You try not to discriminate.
There are bisexual musicians, singers, actresses out there, not in transition, but who are really bisexual.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Australia's Senate resolves its support for same-gender marriage, the issue remains a political hot potato in Canada, and queer artists use music to break biphobic barriers. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending September 13th, 2003. Australia's Senate this week approved a resolution calling on the federal government to introduce a bill to extend legal recognition to gay and lesbian couples. Openly gay Australian Democratic Party Senator from West Australia Brian Gregg offered the resolution to join the Senate's voice to the United Nations Human Rights Committee judgment announced last week. That quasi-judicial panel found that Australia had violated the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights by denying pension benefits to a gay war veteran's surviving partner and ordered the government to end its sexual orientation discrimination. As an urgency motion, Gregg's resolution had to be considered immediately, and after an hour of intense debate, it was passed with the support of the opposition Australian Labor Party and Greens, as well as his ADP. Gregg called it the strongest resolution in favor of gay and lesbian law reform ever to be debated or voted on in our federal parliament. But he went on to say, "We are unlikely to get any reform under Coalition Prime Minister Howard, but it is now clear where all the minor parties stand, and it bodes well for reform under a future government."
The Scottish Executive announced this week that it will neither support a private members' bill to create legal registered partnerships open to gays and lesbians, nor introduce similar legislation of its own, but will leave the issue up to the UK. Justice Minister Cathy Jameson said the decision by Scotland's Labour Liberal Democrat cabinet was unanimous, reflecting concern for an already crowded parliamentary agenda and for legal consistency across provincial borders. She said, "While I accept that for same-sex couples this is a very important issue, it is not an immediate priority for the overwhelming majority of Scotland's people at this time." The British government's partnership proposal is currently in the consultation stage and may be a couple of years away from enactment. Should it be adopted, Scotland will use a streamlined so-called Sewell motion to make it Scotland's law as well. But the opposition Scottish National Party's Nicola Sturgeon said that 80% of the areas affected by civil partnerships are under Scotland's authority, and she accused the Scottish Executive of an abdication of responsibility. Gay rights activist and Green member of the Scottish Parliament, Patrick Harvey, expressed extreme disappointment. According to press reports, cabinet members were quite critical of the quality of his civil partnerships bill off the record. He in turn accused them of a lack of political courage.
Full equal marriage rights for gays and lesbians have the approval of 57% of citizens of the 15 member nations of the European Union, according to an EOS Gallup Europe poll. That figure falls to 42% when the question is adoptions by same-gender couples. But responses are dramatically different among the 13 nations now on track to join the EU, with only 23% favoring marriage and 17% supporting adoption.
The Roman Catholic Church continues its political campaign against legal recognition of same-gender couples as clergy follow the lead of a July decree from the Vatican. This week, the Administrative Committee of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops met and issued a statement declaring their general support for an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that would restrict legal marriage to one man and one woman. They also said that they strongly oppose any legislative and judicial attempts to grant same-sex unions the equivalent status and rights of marriage by naming them marriage civil unions or by other means. The statement did include a reminder that the Church teaches that homosexual persons must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity.
The Canadian Council of Catholic Bishops also met this week and issued a pastoral letter warning that opening legal marriage to gay and lesbian couples would have a serious impact on society. The Canadian bishops wrote, "We remain convinced solutions can be found without proceeding to a radical redefinition of marriage. We reject the attempt of the state to reduce all intimate personal relationships to the same level, leading to the disappearance of the civil institution of marriage." At a news conference, Bishops' Council President Jacques Berthelet denied that restricting marriage to heterosexual couples is discriminatory and said that the government's draft marriage bill confuses equality with uniformity. The Church hopes the Supreme Court of Canada will agree to hear its arguments for keeping marriage het only. But Montreal Archbishop Jean-Claude Cardinal Turcotte stole the show when he questioned whether the dangerous unknown consequences of marriage equality would open the door to incestuous relationships. Justice Minister Martin Cauchon later denied any connection between the two, noting that incest is a criminal offense and just as likely to occur under the present federal definition of marriage. Montreal's Anglican Archdeacon Peter Hannon also reacted, telling reporters, "I cannot imagine a statement from our House of Bishops of the same kind as the Canadian Catholic Bishops has done. You won't find the Anglican Church of Canada as a corporate body taking a stance in this campaign."
Gays and lesbians are not taking the Catholic attacks quietly. In 70% Catholic Slovakia, perhaps 100 picketers were among the crowd at the Bratislava airport for the arrival of Pope John Paul II. Banners included, "Do not discriminate against your neighbor," and "I have a different opinion. Will you burn me?" The youthful protesters were confronted by the older faithful, sometimes violently, until a priest asked the latter to pray for them instead.
In Hong Kong last month, the groups Rainbow Action and Youth Commune crashed a mass to demand an apology for an article in the church newspaper Kung Kao Po denouncing gay and lesbian marriage. Unsurprisingly, four Rainbow Action ringleaders were then denied the chance to make confession and responded with a further protest of praying and singing outside the cathedral. But this week, representatives of Rainbow Action and at least six gay and lesbian civil rights groups met privately for 2 hours with Bishop Joseph Tsen Ze-kyun. The unprecedented discussion could not alter the church's position on marriage, but the delegates were surprised to discover that Tsen is aware of anti-gay discrimination and supports both legislation and education to counter it. A further meeting is planned for more discussion of equality legislation.
India's government has finally responded to a court challenge to the constitutionality of the sodomy law there, which provides for punishments up to life imprisonment. The challenge was brought 2 years ago by the NAS Foundation, an AIDS prevention group whose work has been interfered with by police actions and by its clients' fears. The law is not specific to homosexual acts and in theory could even apply to married couples, as it criminalizes voluntary sex against the order of nature with any man, woman, or animal. The government defended it to the Delhi High Court on the grounds that Indian society is intolerant to the practice of homosexuality, lesbianism, with a disapproval strong enough to justify it being treated as a criminal offense even where the adults indulge in it in private. The government also feared that repeal could well open the floodgates of delinquent behavior and be construed as providing unbridled license for same. Additionally, the government claimed that the law has been used primarily not to punish gays and lesbians, but to prosecute child abuse and sexual assaults. The Hindustan Times called the law a strange irony for the land that produced the most ancient treatise on sex, the Kama Sutra Vatsyayana, and noted depictions of homosexuality in myths and temple art.
And finally, with Queer Eye for the Straight Guy busting cable TV ratings records in the U.S. and going international, and a new TV season opening with a raft of shows with queer content, it's nice to see some of those rewards being reaped as well by pioneer Ellen DeGeneres. Just 6 years ago, both she and the lead character of her sitcom, Ellen, came out to the world in a major first. The TV world hasn't been the same since she broke down the closet door, but so far others have benefited far more than she, as first Ellen and then its successor sitcom, The Ellen Show, went under. This season, she's back on the tube with a syndicated talk show, The Ellen DeGeneres Show, that premiered this week. Opening ratings were solid, up an average of 17% from programming in the same time slots last year. Ellen attracted an average of 5% more viewers than the lead-in programs and finished first or second for her time slot in 17 markets. Interestingly, she fared best in Columbus, Ohio.
That's News Wrap for the week ending September 13th, 2003. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
We'll sample a new CD that'll fine-tune your musical Bidar and meet the biphobia-battling artist activist behind the project later in the program.
Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheep, 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 talk a lot, pick a little more, pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheep, 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 talk a lot, pick a little more.
It's been just under 4 months since Ontario's Court of Appeal made the province the first in Canada where same-gender couples can marry. British Columbia soon followed. Since those momentous days, there have been many highs and lows for lesbian and gay couples, increasingly passionate support for marriage from the Canadian government, intensified opposition from the religious right, and a disconcerting lack of commitment on the issue from the man expected to become the new prime minister early next year. Heather Kitching takes us through the latest developments in Canada's journey towards implementing full equal marriage rights.
The story of the summer politicking on same-sex marriage in Canada begins on June 17th, when Prime Minister Jean Chrétien announced that his government would throw in the towel in its efforts to defeat same-sex marriage in the courts. Instead of appealing, they would let stand pro-marriage decisions in Ontario and British Columbia. Furthermore, he said his government would draft legislation opening marriage to same-sex couples across the country. Chrétien had a plan that would make the introduction of the legislation as palatable as possible to marriage opponents. He would send the legislation to the Supreme Court of Canada for a ruling on its constitutionality. Among other things, he'd ask the court to declare whether the bill adequately protected freedom of religion in an attempt to pacify critics who feared that churches would be forced to marry same-sex couples. He would then introduce the bill in the House of Commons and allow members of Parliament to vote their conscience on it, an unusual move. Typically, Canadian MPs are disciplined to vote along party lines. But Chrétien's plan was dealt a blow when the Supreme Court announced its timeline back in August.
It's pretty clear to me that the federal government was banking on the Supreme Court of Canada cooperating with them and having the reference heard quickly, like September. So that the reference could be heard, decided, the bill introduced and passed through Parliament, all while the current Prime Minister was still in office.
Douglas Elliott was the attorney for the Metropolitan Community Church in Ontario's marriage case.
Well, it's very clear that the Supreme Court of Canada gave the finger to the Prime Minister in the most public way over this whole process. Not just the timing of putting it over till next April when it's going to be probably either in an election or on the cusp of a federal election, but definitely after we have a new Prime Minister and perhaps a new Attorney General of Canada. But even on very small points, like all of the procedural points that the government was requesting, the Supreme Court of Canada turned them down on everything.
The date of the Supreme Court hearing is April 16th, 2004. And the decision from the court may not happen until just before Parliament adjourns that year. That means the bill may not reach the House of Commons until next September. Meanwhile, opponents of same-sex marriage have mobilized. A coalition of anti-gay groups declared September 1st through 7th Sanctity of Marriage Week and held prayer vigils at the offices of members of Parliament, some of which drew hundreds of protesters, others where protesters were outnumbered by media. In August, the group drew several thousand demonstrators to a protest on Parliament Hill. Members of Parliament have reported that their offices are swamped with letters and petitions against same-sex marriage, far outweighing any expressions in support. And one Catholic leader even suggested that Prime Minister Jean Chrétien would literally go to hell over the bill. Amid the controversy, the man expected to become the next prime minister, Paul Martin, has come across less than enthusiastic about same-sex marriage, and supporters worry that if the issue doesn't go to the House until after he is leader, its priority level may drop significantly. Increasingly, members of all the parties of the House of Commons are calling on the federal government to vote on same-sex marriage without waiting for the Supreme Court's blessing. One of those making the call is New Democratic Party leader Jack Layton, who says that even though the bill stands a chance of being defeated in the House because of all of the opposition, there is really little to lose by going to a vote now.
If we do lose at Parliament, we will still end up at the Supreme Court. So one way or another, we're ending up at the Supreme Court. Why not find out what the elected representatives stand for? Is it equality or is it not? And if it's not, let's throw out the ones that voted wrongly.
Douglas Elliott agrees.
I think that the reference has turned out to be a poison chalice for the government. I think they thought it would allow them to be seen to be having Parliament decide the decision while getting the seal of approval of the Supreme Court of Canada. And it's just because of the Supreme Court of Canada interfering with their timetable, the whole thing has just blown up in their face. I think that this ongoing vitriol that's coming from the religious right is extremely distressing to many people in the lesbian and gay community, and I think it's socially poisonous to have this kind of thing going on for a very long time, especially when the end result really in the long run or the short run, however you slice it, is inevitable. We are going to have same-sex marriage, so the sooner these people learn to live with it, the better.
The Liberal government continues to say that they will not hold a vote on the bill until after the Supreme Court has ruled on the bill next year. But their actions suggest that they may be thinking of changing course. On September 3rd, government sources told 365gay.com that they would be embarking on a major campaign to sell same-sex marriage, and it would be the biggest blitz since the last federal election. Then, on September 8th, Justice Minister Martin Cochon embarked on a hastily organized week-long tour of Canada to promote his bill to the Canadian public.
I think that we're heading in the right direction. And those that are saying actually that we will destroy the institution, that will affect heterosexual marriage, my answer is no. Their right won't have an impact on my right. The fact that they have access to marriage will make sure that we're going to have a more open and generous institution. And if you have a more open and generous institution, your institution is by far stronger.
Speaking at the University of British Columbia on September 11th, Cochon passionately defended his bill against critics who have been saying that same-sex marriage could lead to polygamy or even legalized incestuous marriages. Cochon now heads back to Parliament, where the House is scheduled to vote on a motion by the Anti-Gay Canadian Alliance Party to affirm marriage as the union of a man and a woman. Meanwhile, Canada's national queer rights lobby group, AGAL, has spearheaded the launch of a new group, Canadians for Same-Sex Marriage, a coalition of groups from all walks of life uniting to lobby in favor of the marriage legislation. Already, the Canadian Federation of Students has issued a press release in support, and the group promises much more profile in the coming weeks. For This Way Out, I'm Heather Kitching in Vancouver.
According to several websites tracking the vote count in the Canadian Parliament, there are currently 110 members who intend to vote in favor of same-gender marriage, 130 who intend to vote against, and 61 who are undecided.
Hi, this is Tom Robinson reminding you that you're either listening to, discovering for the first time, or tuned right in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine with Lucia Chappell and Greg Gordon.
Bisexual musicians are not always identified as such in their press kits and CD notes. That's why award-winning singer-songwriter Scott Friedman is bringing his fellow bi performers out of the closet with a new compilation CD. This Way Out's J.D. Doyle has some preview excerpts and chats with Friedman about the music and the message.
Scott Friedman is an openly bisexual recording artist and a bisexual activist. In addition to promoting his third full-length album called Some Company, his national tour includes many colleges, where he also gives lectures on biphobia, The talk he gives is called Battling Biphobia, Bringing Bisexuals Back to Both Communities. So it seems perfectly natural that he would be the one to come up with the idea of a compilation album to promote breaking down these barriers.
The project is called By the People, a compilation of bisexual artists and friends. It's being released on my own independent label, to which up to this point has only done my own material. I'm releasing this project on it called VY Records, which stands for Violent Yodel Records. And the project is to benefit compilation. The proceeds are going to the Bisexual Foundation. And the project's purpose is to really create more bi visibility and have artists who are bisexual, as well as artists who are not, actually just show their support and the need and necessity for bisexuality education, which often sometimes gets swept under the rug.
One of those featured is Jill Saubuhl, the artist who gave us I Kissed a Girl. She generously contributed this previously unreleased song called Saw a Cop.
We have these messages where, bisexuals are feeling they have to be closeted because of the stigma of, oh, you know, that means that you just sleep around, or, oh, that means that you're having a cop-out and you can't really come out. And so what happens then is we have closeted bisexuals in this community just as we have closeted homosexuals in the straight community.
This is your own experience, right, Scott?
Absolutely. I came out as gay when I was 18, and 2 years later came out again because I was still attracted to women. And some of the reactions I got just floored me, such as, well, maybe it's just a phase, and maybe you can change, maybe you should talk to someone. Just stunned me at the time.
So what really gave you the spark for this album project?
In addition to performing, I lecture at colleges about bisexuality and share my own experience, so which people hopefully will learn something from. And I really just want this project to add visibility, because a lot of people say, you know, oh, bisexual is just wavering in the middle. One of the biggest things we can do is to show that not only are there bisexuals, but there are bisexual musicians, singers, actresses out there doing this, not in transition, but who are really bisexual.
When did you start working on this?
I started, this is a rather quick summer project. I started working on this right in the beginning of June. So I really put this together very quickly. I was, I'm a hard worker. I love getting right down to it. And I started, you know, calling some people, emailing, and really just getting it out there that, you know what, I want this out, and I want this out in the fall.
Was it hard to get the artists interested?
I think anytime you are asking an artist to donate a track, of course, the first question out of everyone's mouth is, well, who else is on it? And, you know, it's that whole double-edged sword. Well, how do you get someone on it if everyone else wants to know who's going to be on it? And, you know, fortunately, one of the first names that came in was Aaron Hamilton, who's bisexual, who's Carol Burnett's daughter, who does dance music. So, you know, you start with one name, and then the artists feel a little bit more comfortable. And as an artist, I understood that.
Let's hear one of those artists. From Australia, here's Leia Fisher singing Dick and Jane.
You're not gay, but you're not straight. You try not to discriminate. Cause you're getting the best out of both worlds. You kiss the boys, you kiss those girls. I envy you your carefree ways. Attitude of come what may, I wish I had the guts to be like you.
Okay, you mentioned Aaron Hamilton, and the album also includes some of our community's favorites, like Melissa Ferrick, Rachel Sage, Laura Love, and newcomer Jim Vararos of American Idol. Can you tell us about some of the others?
Certainly. I mean, you know, we have judging from the major label artists like Tandy Division, Jill Saubuhl, Fish and Animal, who are on Righteous Babe Records, you know, Ani DeFranco's label, to more of the independent solo singer-songwriter like myself, Gregory Douglas, Leia Fisher. I mean, she's a wonderful artist from Australia. We have Tom Robinson from England. So absolutely, I wanted, of course, you know, some, you know, great names who would, of course, bring their fan bases, but as well to put out some names that you might not know by the sound of it, or might not even know the song, will listen to it and be like, wow, what a song.
Now, not all the artists on here are bisexual, are they?
No, they're not. We definitely have a couple artists who do not identify as bisexual, who are very supportive of the bi movement. So, absolutely.
Have there been any people say, well, why isn't this an album of all bisexual artists?
I absolutely thought about that. I had over 75 submissions from a lot of bisexual artists and could have. And for me, the whole message I want to promote is that we need more community as opposed to dividing. So to put out a CD where I said, you have to be bisexual to be on the CD, kind of went against the message I was saying, which is bisexuals don't want their own little community. We want to be a part of the queer community. So to, you know, add other people on there who are not bisexual, I thought helped convey that message that the whole goal is to be together, not to divide.
Do you expect any backlash of any sort from this project?
I do. I think any time, including, gay and lesbian rights, any time that you are speaking up for minority, obviously the more vocal you are, the more you'll have an opposition. So whereas we have these protests today from, the Christian right movement, I tend to take that as a positive sign. Well, if it's getting people talking about it or getting people upset, then I must be doing something right.
I've been chatting with Scott Friedman about the new compilation album he has produced called By the People. And by, of course, is spelled B-I. And to help you find out more, Scott spells his name SKOTTFREEDMAN. The website to go to is www.vyrecords.com. That's vyrecords.com. And the CD will be available October 21st at fine select websites on the net. The song you're hearing as we close is The Price You Paid, Scott's own contribution to the album. For This Way Out, I'm J.D. Doyle.
Was it worth the price you paid? You sold your soul out just to lead the parade. Yeah, you sold your soul. Now you got nothing to show. Was it worth the love you lost? You traded in truth no matter the cost. Yeah, you traded in truth so they believe in you. So tell me, is it day or night? 'Cause lately I feel left out of my own life. And that ain't right. And tell me, when my life is through, am I gonna wind up just like you, wishing for all the things I didn't do and could never say to you?
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Christopher Gall, Fensberry, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, Heather Kitching, and J.D. Doyle contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can also listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain, and for audio cassette subscription information, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. And thanks to AlternaBid and the Stonewall Society, you can still bid on some terrific items in an online auction to benefit This Way Out. Look for the This Way Out auction area at AlternaBid.com. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WHUS Storrs, Connecticut, KHSU Arcata, California, CHSR Fredericton, New Brunswick, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we hope you'll stay tuned.